Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at www.robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by Mosey Pro and GoToMeeting. Now, on with the show. Hi everybody, and welcome to episode 175 of the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob, from robnunphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Apologise if I sound a little bit out of breath. We've just come from a wonderful walk where Suzanne and I went from the end of Leon Solent and right up to Hill Head and back, which was probably, well, it felt like about 10 miles to my unfit legs, but it was probably only about 2 miles walk along the beach, but it was very good indeed. I hope everybody's had a great photographic week. What have I been up to? Well, obviously it's Sunday afternoon. I'm recording the podcast quite early. It's only 25 past 3 in the afternoon. We went to two car boots this morning. We went to Bridge Mary, and then we went to the big one up at Burselton. Didn't get much. Had a good look round. As ever, I'm on my hunt for Fuji Instax instant cameras, Olympus Trip 35s and anything sort of special. There was a couple of SLRs, and actually, I tell you what, I did see a few today, Super 8 film cameras, but I've got one in Ultra and I haven't bought any film for that yet, so I think I'll have a test with that and see how we get on before I buy any more Super 8 type motion picture cameras. But what I did pick up for an amazing bargain was a two times teleconverter for Canon autofocus lenses. It's the Jessop's one, Jessop's UK manufacturer, you might remember, used to work for them. And they normally sell for about 75 to 80 quid, new in the shop. So this one's in a bag, and we were wandering along, and it was still dark, so I have this little wind-up torch I use to look at the stalls, and I saw this little thing, and I thought, oh, that looks like a teleconverter. But normally when you see them, they're the old M42 types, or they're the wrong lens mount, but I picked it up and it said, I think it said Canon, did it say Canon? I think it said EF, Jessop's two times, and looked at it, sort of had the electrical contacts on the back for the autofocus and the settings. Thought, brilliant, jobs are good, and how much do you want for it? £1.50. So I snapped it off, and without even looking at it in any detail, got it home, had a look at the optics, nice and clear, put it on my 350D, snapped on nice and tight, went to put my 55 to 250 lens on it, and I thought, oh, this doesn't fit properly. Doesn't quite fit. It's not snapping into the bayonet mount. There's something in the way. So rather than try and squash it on, I did a little bit of research on the web. And these Jessop's teleconverters only work with EF lenses, not EFS lenses, which I have. And you might know, if you know anything about the Canon range of lenses, you have the EF, which are the full-frame lenses, which fit the old film cameras and all the digital cameras. Then you have the EFS lenses, which are designed to work with a smaller sensor on cameras like the 350D through to the 600D, 7D, etc. Anything apart from the full frame, so they won't fit old film cameras and this teleconverter, which is a bit of a shame. But it's in mint condition, so I put it in the bag. I put it in my big LowPro 400AW, which is kind of my camera bag of stuff that I've still got to use. So I've got my flashes in there, reflector, and a few an M42 lens I use for macro work, and so the teleconverter's gone in there, ready for when I get an EF lens. I mean, because sometimes you think, you know, what would the next lens be after the 55 to 250? And I guess probably there's the 75 to 300 IS, which is reputed to be a very good lens. I've had the 75-300 non-IS, nice lens, but you know, but it's a little bit slow at the long end, so you really want that IS to reduce camera shake. But the reason why, I mean, I don't do that much telephoto work, but the reason why I thought it would be really good to have a teleconverter was purely because of astrophotography, because there's been a series of programs on BBC Two in the UK over the last week where they've been looking at the stars and amateur astronomy, and I thought, well, I wouldn't mind having a go at that. But the 250 lens is a little bit too short, but to get out there at like 500mm or 600mm with a teleconverter on a 300, and then when you take into the crop factor as well, that might be quite interesting indeed. So, oh well, you know, but £1.50, can't really knock that. Also this week, I'll go on to a photo walk I did with testing out the Massa wide-angle converter I got for my Canon as well. Before that, I also, before we went out, I had an opportunity. I had 10 minutes spare. Now, what do you do if you've got 10 minutes? You know, you go on the web, you do a bit of surfing, you catch up with the RSS feeds, you might read a magazine, whatever. But I thought, no, I've got my camera out. What can I take pictures of? So I dashed into the kitchen, and inspired by a podcast, I can't remember, it was somebody on a recent podcast said, you know, what really got you turned on about black and white and photography in general? This guy said, one of Edward Weston's photos. Edward Weston passed away now, but very famous photographer, and especially known for his pictures of peppers. And that might sound a little bit silly, but if you do a Google search for Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N, and then pepper number 30, I think it is, you'll see this pepper. And what Edward had done was he lit these peppers so they looked very sensuous and fleshy, and loads of tones. Very nice photo. So I thought, I know, I'll grab a piece of paper, white paper, instead of the black background that Weston did, and I'll take some pictures of peppers, because I saw we had some coloured peppers in the vegetable rack. So, yeah, you can see them on the Flickr photo stream, and I'll put one of them in the show notes so you can see what I got up to there. So, if you've got a spare 5 minutes, why don't you get into that kitchen, see what there is? And all I did was I got a piece of A4 paper and used it like a backdrop, so I kind of curled it so it was at a right angle with a curl on, and then the vegetables held the paper in place, and I just put my camera on the work surface and then put it in aperture priority mode, dialed in about a stop of overexposure to make the paper really white, and then just shot away that way. And then what I did was in post-processing, if you're in Photoshop or Elements or most post-processing software, there'll be a levels command where you can adjust the darks, the midtones, and the highlights. And there's normally also a little colour picker for your black and your white and your midtone. So you pick the white one, dab it on the white paper, and the paper goes white, and obviously the darkness of the vegetable goes out the window. But it's a good way of introducing high contrast photos. So have a go. It's a bit of fun. Now, time for our first sponsor, because we've still got two sponsors over at SEL. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. If you've ever had to do a traditional conference call where you're on the phone, you know that several other people who are meant to be listening to you and taking notes and generally get involved are sitting there reading the newspaper. They're on their phones, they're checking their RSS feeds, they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter. They're not getting involved in what you want them to do, which is very unproductive. Or if you've ever had to have a traditional meeting where you get people maybe from all over the country or different parts of the world all flying in or driving in to this one location where you have this, even just a 2-hour meeting, and all the cost involved. But obviously those types of meetings, well, they can be productive, but also can be anti-productive because of the fact that people are tired because they've had to come so far. But so if you want to save time and you want to save money, check out GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a computer-based teleconferencing system where everybody dials in, if you like, using their computer. So you're on the internet, you go to the link, and then they can see your desktop, but they can also see your face with the HD Faces feature. They can use their laptops, they can use their desktops, they can use their iPhones, they can use their Android phones. I think there might even be a Windows phone app, but don't quote me on that. But everybody can get involved. They can see the sales figures, they can see the plans, they can see the images, they can see everything that you want them to see. But don't take my word for it. Head on over to gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and use the promo code podcast. So head on over to GoToMeeting, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. I'm sure you'll find the teleconferences you do, the conference call, will become much more productive, and you save loads of money. So what was I going to talk about next? Right, yes, the Massa wide angle lens attachment. I've mentioned it before, I think, maybe quite a while ago. I'm just getting it out of my camera bag now. Now, if you've got SLRs, or actually lots of normal cameras, little smaller cameras that have lens threads, or video cameras, if you've got interchangeable lenses, one of the things that you want often is more focal length. You might want longer focal length to get closer to the action, but you also might want a wider angle so you can fit more in, because the wider angle gives photos a lot more drama. Buildings kind of recede away, lines kind of start off further apart and then seem to shoot away into the distance. You can have landscapes where you might have a nice rock in the. I always talk about the rock on the beach. So now you have a nice wet rock on the beach, and then you have the beach zooming away, and then the sunset in the distance. But unfortunately, dedicated wide-angle lenses aren't cheap, and they also tend to be pretty heavy as well. And also, you know, who wants to carry a bag of like five or six different lenses around when you're out on a general photo walk, or you're out, say, on a family holiday or a family day out? So you can buy these sort of wide-angle and telephoto macro converters that are just a big chunk of glass, like a big fat filter that's probably, I don't know, 20 millimeters thick, about an inch thick, that you screw on the front of your existing lens, so your existing 18-55 in my case, and it gives you a wide angle. It bends all that light in. Now, I've in the past was pretty skeptical about this idea, because I did buy one ages ago for the Fujifilm 5700, and although the quality was okay, it gave you dramatic wide-angle shots. It also had a vignette. It kind of had the opposite to a vignette in the fact that in the middle of the photo, the photo was a lot brighter. So I guess it was a vignette. And I didn't actually use it that much, but I thought, let's have another go, because I saw some on eBay. I saw a telephoto, which I think was a 2x telephoto, and then the wide-angle, which is a 0.45x. So what it means is you times your focal length by, let's call it, 0.5, so you half it in effect. So if you're at 18 millimeters, this little converter will give you a 9 millimeter adapter. Now, I tried out the telephoto lens first and tried taking some pictures of things, but it wasn't very good, to be honest. So I would avoid the telephoto, avoid the converters that bring things in closer, because for me, it led to images with very little contrast. They were blurred, and the camera really struggled to focus as well. But I'm happy to say that the Massa Optics wide-angle converter with the macro on it has been very good indeed, and it's something that will be staying in my camera bag. It's dead easy to use. You just screw it on the front of your lens like a normal filter. It's quite heavy though, so my little trick is turn your lens to manual focus while you're doing it, so you don't rip the gearing out of your autofocus systems in your lens. And you screw it on, and then you have to be careful a little bit, because it will vignette when you're at 18 millimeters. So I tend to turn my lens to about 20 millimeters, guesstimating, and so if we change that by half, so I'm probably at about 10 to 12 millimeters, and that gives me a nice wide view, and you get all that the drama and the intrigue that wide angle shots give you, and it works really well. The days I've been using it have been quite overcast, so I don't know how well this lens will deal with flare. It doesn't look like it has particularly lots of coatings on it, so there's probably going to be loads of chromatic aberration and stuff, but who cares, it's a bit of fun. You can keep it in your camera bag, and the wide angle bit works very well. Now, the other bit that works as well, if not more, you might be able to hear me unscrewing it, is the macro bit. So what you do is you screw this other lens off the back of the wide angle, and then you've got a close-up filter which you can just screw on the front of your 18-55 again, in my case, and it turns that lens, or any lens, into a macro lens. Very good, very impressed. A similar idea to the close-up lenses I used on the Minolta SRT-101, and giving just as good results, taking some nice pictures of spiders with that. So it's pretty lightweight, it does the job. The optical quality isn't up there with a dedicated wide-angle lens or a dedicated macro lens, but for a walk-around kit, it's more than good enough, and it's definitely staying in the bottom of my bag. Look out for the show notes over at robnumphoto.com for some example photos and links to where you can get it. I got my pair secondhand on eBay for about 15 quid. But as I say, avoid the telephoto, just get the wide-angle macro converter, because that's the one that does the business. Time for our second sponsor, which is Mosey Pro. So when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people, One thing that's often overlooked is protecting the data that powers your business. Earthquakes, floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters threaten destruction, including the safety of your servers and computers. What would you do if you lost your data due to a disaster? According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 10 days or more survive beyond a year. Businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mozy to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents to family pictures and music. It's automatic and it works. Melissa, who runs a small non-profit for supporting local residents with HIV and AIDS, lost some critical data due to an office burglary. Then she got Mozy Pro. When her computer recently crashed, she said, "I didn't panic, knowing that I had Mozy Pro." Mozy got her data back in no time. So if you're not backing up your business data with Mozy Pro, here is a reason you should consider Mozy Pro to back up your business data. Mozy Pro business backup plans are affordable and there are no contracts to sign or hardware to buy. If your business is not backed up with Mozy Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. But why go to all the hassle of doing it yourself? Do it with Mozy Pro. Give our friends at Mozy a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. And right now you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. In the States, you can call them 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776 or visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. And remember, use that promo code PODCAST15. Thanks to Mozy Pro for sponsoring the SEL Photography Podcast. Now, next up is an idea that you may well have come across before, but I've only just recently started playing around with it. And it's the idea that you turn your digital camera into a film camera. Sort of. I've done a video on YouTube, and I'll do a separate post on this over on robnotfoto.com. But one of the joys of shooting film is the fact that you wander along and you take photographs and you don't worry about whether they, well, I don't worry about whether they've come out or not, because you can't chimp, you can't look on the back of the LCD screen. So you spend a lot of more time looking around at the things you should be taking photographs on and of and capturing those moments, rather than worrying about looking at the back of the camera and reviewing your photos and thinking, "Oh, is that sharp enough? I better take another one." Also, when you're shooting black and white film, that is, it's quite a... you don't worry about things like colour, obviously. You don't worry about things like white balance, because you can't. All you're doing is wandering around and snapping away. And the same goes for colour film, actually. One of the biggest challenges with digital is getting colours looking right on the web or in the print. But when you shoot film, it doesn't really matter, because that white balance is baked into the film. So you just shoot it gets developed, and you get what you get. You can then go into Photoshop and change things, but normally it's pretty good. If you're shooting normal film outside in the daylight, it will give you realistic looking colours. And you can transfer that experience to your digital camera if you so wish. And I've had a go, and it is quite good fun. And what you can do is, so I've got my 350D in my hand at the moment. So traditionally, you know, what I'll do is, as I'm out there shooting, you know, I'll take a photo, the picture will come up on the back of the screen, I'll look at it, and I might take another and stuff like that. But the first thing we can do is we can bake in black and white if we wish. Now, you know, I shoot JPEG, I can't be bothered with RAW anymore. So I just shoot JPEG for speed and frame size. So if I go to the menus, I can go to option 2 and come down to the parameters section. Check your instruction manual to see how to do it. And then you click it on, and then you just go to the parameters and change it to black and white. So that's now baked in. So all I'm going to be doing now, all the camera will produce is black and white JPEGs. But there's also a filter effect, so I can add a red filter. So if I'm out on a sunny day, all I do is add the red filter, and that will make my sky, my blue skies nice and dark. How cool is that? Now Suzanne's just bringing the coffee. Thanks, darling. And then the kind of finishing touch you can do as you go into the menus again and find the little bit that relates to review time of photos, and it's probably set to something like 2 seconds or 4 seconds. That's the time that this picture comes up on the back of the screen. Turn it off. So now what happens, I've now got my camera and it will only produce baked in black and white JPEGs with a red filter, and obviously you can change the filter. Normally you'd say nothing, but you might want for extreme effects, like add blue filters and things like that. You've got to be careful when you're adding the simulated filters, because things like people's faces can start to go a little bit odd. For landscapes it's okay. There's no review, so all I do, I'm wandering along and then I take a picture. There's no thing to look on the back. Now what you do have to make sure you do, obviously, is that your camera is set up correctly, and maybe if you're running in an auto mode like aperture priority, which I do the most, you can always check your shutter speed, can't you, as well, after you've taken a picture, see what the setting is. So I can hold it up and say okay, the camera knows that at f8 it's shooting at 1/125th of a second, so I know that shot's going to turn out quite bright, so that's really good. And I found it really is quite good fun to shoot that way, because you're not worrying about chimping on the back of the screen, you're not worried about reviewing your photographs too much, and the whole photography experience is similar to that film. You don't know what you've got till you get home, transfer the photos to your computer, and then look at them big. So give it a go. Get into the settings, turn it to JPEGs, turn it to black and white, so you've got baked in JPEGs, turn that review off, and then go. I don't recommend you go out and shoot somebody's wedding like this or a family holiday, but maybe you go out, you shoot your normal RAWs or whatever you do, and then on the way back switch to this method, give it a go and see what you come up with. It will definitely smooth out your photography, and you might find you really enjoy it. Now finally, a new assignment for 2012. I haven't set one for January, because there's a couple of threads up over on rubnonphoto.com Flickr group, and I'll put a link in the show notes, that are talking about ideas for photo assignments for 2012. So what I thought we would do is go with Joe Alfano's idea of winter where you live. Now, I don't know about where you are, but here the winter's really odd because it's incredibly mild. You could go out in shorts if you were doing some work outside, doing some digging or something at the moment, where normally it's freezing cold, we'd have frost, and I'm sure, you know, in the North of England and Scotland we would have snow, and it's just been really mild. There's global warming for you. So the assignment therefore for the rest of January and the whole of February is winter where you live. This could be a traditional winter shots, maybe with snow and ice and stuff, or maybe the fact that it's so mild. I mean, we've got flowers coming up. You go in our garden, there's roses on the rose bush. How strange is that? So maybe in the description of the photo at the bottom on Flickr, you can put why this reflects winter where you live, if it's not obvious from the photo itself. Usual things, head on over to Flickr. Remember, Flickr's free to join, so if you haven't already, go to Flickr, sign up, find the rubnonphoto.com Flickr group, join the group, and put your photos in the pool. And then when you want to add your photos to the particular assignment, just go in, and I've got instructions on how you do it there as well. So that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for adding all the comments on rubnonphoto.com. Thanks for adding all the photos into the rubnonphoto.com Flickr group. Really appreciate it. There's some fantastic work going over there. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from rubnonphoto.com, and hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.